Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio service. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What happens to a culture when it defies all authority, including the voice of God? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, help us to understand that you are the Almighty, that you are a God of love and mercy and grace, but you are also a God of righteousness. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may understand in this chaotic old world of ours that you have not left us without an authority, but that authority is your word, which reveals to us your will for all matters of faith and life. So speak to us this day through your word, and grant that we may understand just a bit better that the voice of God still speaks through the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, beginning with the first verse. What I'm doing here in our scripture reading today is simply going through certain verses in this 20th chapter, bringing out once again the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your brother. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox and donkeys, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Here ends the reading of God's Holy Word. Friends in Christ, good help is always hard to find. It was true in Moses' day also. Pharaoh was anxious to keep the good workers who came from Israel in Egypt. He didn't want to get rid of them. They were good slaves. They got the job done, and they were profitable to have around as workers. However, God had other plans for Israel. They were to have a land of their own. And the question was, who would lead them to that land? God had it already planned. There was a fellow by the name of Moses, a young Jew whom God had miraculously saved as an infant from being killed by Pharaoh. He was God's appointed leader. He was going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. So one day, when Moses was tending his father-in-law's flock, God called him. He said, "Moses, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians. So now I am going to send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Can you imagine what this shepherd did? Just about like what many of us would do. He had all kinds of excuses for not taking this responsible job. So he said to God, "God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. Please send someone else to do it." Now this irritated God. In fact, the Bible said he was angry. He replied to Moses, "Your brother Aaron can speak well. Let him be your spokesman, and I will tell both of you how to speak, and I'll teach both of you what to do." Therefore, Moses was the appointed leader. And it wasn't long before he and his brother Andrew were on their way to deliver God's message to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. You could summarize that message by these words: Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh responded, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Don't you see that arrogance, friend? Doesn't it really speak to our day? Perhaps to us as individuals, even to the church, and certainly to the nations of the land. Society, the culture of which we are a part, say, who is this God that you're talking about? Do you not know that we are the enlightened people of our day? And we can say what we want to say, and we will lead ourselves, who is this God? Well, back in the days of Moses, the Lord decided that I'm going to show Pharaoh who is really the power to be concerned about. I wonder, friend, sometimes with fear, when that time is going to come that God is going to say to our civilization, I will show these people that I still am the Lord God Almighty. Well, back to Moses, during the next few months, God sent plagues to Egypt. And the purpose of these plagues was to show Pharaoh who was in control. He wanted him to know that his voice was authoritative and not that of the king of Egypt. Here Moses, as he observed what God was doing, could see clearly that God was the Almighty, and God's voice was the final authority. There were 10 plagues that came to the Egyptians. They were trying to show Pharaoh that he could not defy Almighty God. Here were just a few of the plagues. The water of the Nile turned into blood. The fish died. There was no water for the people to drink. Another plague was the frogs infested the land. They crawled over people. They were in their houses and all around. But it didn't affect Pharaoh, except that it hardened his heart. But it went on. And finally, the livestock began to die. The livestock that was owned by the Egyptians died, but the livestock of the Israelites continued in best of health. It still did nothing but harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh did not give in to God's demand until one night the angel of death went throughout Egypt, and the firstborn in every Egyptian family died. But the Jewish boys and girls and the rest were spared. This finally got Pharaoh's attention. And he got a hold of Moses and he said, get your people out of here and get them out in a hurry. And so in a hurry, the Israelites left. But it wasn't long before Pharaoh began to understand, I've made a terrible mistake. We can't let these good workers go. We need their labor. And so he began to pursue them with his armies. And finally, when they got to the Red Sea, they could see the Israelites. The Israelites could see them. And the Egyptians were coming with all of their armor. Now what was going to happen? Why had Moses led them out there by the Red Sea to die? Why had he not let them stay at home in Egypt? It was tolerable at least. But God said to Moses, just keep right on going. And when they got to the Red Sea, Moses lifted up his hand, and there you know the story. The Red Sea parted, and the Israelites walked through on dry land. Well, the Egyptians pursued them, and when they got into the middle of the sea, there the waters came back together again, and the Egyptians were drowned. It was showing that God was the Almighty, and that his voice was the authority. In other words, Moses learned that day, you don't fool around with God. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. He is a God of love. But he is also the God of righteousness, and his voice is authoritative. I think we need to realize that, don't you, friend? The voice of authority comes from God. We do not fool around with him. Israel was now on the other side of the Red Sea. Then came the days in the wilderness. They were a rebellious people, those Israelites. They grumbled. And when they didn't get everything that they wanted, and while things out there were just a little bit more difficult than they had been back in Egypt, they would ask Moses, "Why in the world did you lead us out here?" Until finally, Moses was beside himself, and he turned to God and he said, "What am I to do with these people? They are ready to stone me." Well, as you read along in that book of Exodus, you see that God provided for the needs of the Israelites, but he demanded obedience from them. And because of that, when they did not act obediently, he decided to punish them. For example, one day he said to Moses, "You're going to stay here in this wilderness the rest of your time. You're going to be here 40 years. Those who were 38 or older, when all of this grumbling and rebellion was going on, will remain right here, and none will pass into the promised land." So Israel experienced 40 years in that wilderness. It was in these times of disobedience that God finally delivered to Moses the Ten Commandments to show the people the kind of life God demanded of them. And my friend, these Ten Commandments still stand. They are the lessons that we learn today. They are the voice of God. They are the final authority. We don't have time to go over all of them, but let's just take a look at a couple of them. Here's the voice of God. And what is it that he says? Now remember, these are not the 10 suggestions. They are not negotiable. They cannot be adjusted to the culture of the day. They speak to where we are. So when he says to you and to me that we are to have no other gods before him, the very first commandment, he is not just suggesting that everything ought to get out of your life and mine, and that he should have first place. He is saying, that's my rightful place in your life. When he is saying, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, he's not saying, as some of us do plead today, "Oh, won't you please come? We're going to entertain you. We're going to give you everything that you want. We'll not be too hard on you, and you can be assured that the service will not be too long." No, he doesn't go out that way. He is the Lord. He is the Almighty. And he says, remember that Sabbath day to keep it holy. He is not suggesting it. He is saying it. And God have mercy on us if we can defy that voice of authority. No, they're not negotiable. That commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, that is not negotiable. He doesn't say, well, I understand because of all of your medical discoveries here as far as birth control is concerned, etc. You can kind of relax a little bit on that. And we would urge you to live a chaste and pure life until you're married. But we understand the situation of the day and the temptations and all the rest that go along with it. And perchance you should get pregnant. Well, you can always abort. Now, that's not God at all. He is saying, thou shalt not commit adultery. These commandments cannot be adjusted to the culture of our day either. We can't steal. And by that he means more than you can't go into the corner grocery store and hold them up and empty their cash register. No, he's talking about some of these so-called white-collar crimes, where it's almost legalized robbery. You can't do that. You can't adjust that commandment to your culture and say, well, the end justifies the means. Not at all. The voice of God is authoritative. Finally, the person comes to the place where he or she says, but I can't keep these commandments. I just can't. And when the law has done that, it has done its work, friend. For one of the great purposes of the law is that it brings us to the foot of the cross. The law was given, St. Paul says, to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. I come to Christ with my sins. I know that the voice of authority has convicted me that I am in no way able to keep what God has wanted me to keep. But the voice of authority also says, in Jesus Christ I declare to you the forgiveness of your sin. That's authoritative. That's the last word from God. How does God do that? By sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, to suffer and to die on a cross? Is that going to atone for it all? That's right. That's where the atonement was made. That's where there is a forgiveness of sins by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's his word. It can't be negotiated. It can't be adjusted. No, that's the authority. The voice of authority that speaks to those who need him the most. It was that voice of authority that came to the robber on the cross and said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That was a promise of Jesus to a man who was repentant of his sins and placed his faith in Christ alone. It was a word that came to the woman caught in the act of adultery. Jesus said, I don't condemn you, I forgive you. But you make jolly well sure that you clean your life up. And that was not contributing to her salvation. It was a fruit of her salvation. And so God says to us, I am the voice of authority. You better know that. I am the voice of grace. I am the voice of mercy. All of that. But I am the voice of authority. History teaches us that God's word is the voice of authority. Let that person, that institution, or that nation think that they can disregard God's word, be it the law or the gospel, and the future is bleak. That's why, you see, it is important to have Moses on my personal spiritual cabinet to remind me that God's word is authoritative. Abraham said, trust him. Job said, be patient. And Moses says, remember, he's got the last word. It is authoritative. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that your voice is a voice of authority, reminding us of who we are, but reminding us of your grace. May we find our security in knowing that our Heavenly Father has spoken to us very clearly. Lord Jesus, we ask that your presence may be felt with those today who are sick, those who are sorrowing, and those who have been to the graveside lately to bury the body of one near and dear to them. Sustain them, O God, with that word that you have to speak to them, and help them to know that this is not a word that changes, but that it is the voice of authority. Father, today we ask your blessings to rest upon all of those who are in authority over us. May we listen to them. May we be obedient to them as long as they are obedient to your word. But grant that no matter what their status may be, what their position might be in this world, that you, the Lord God, are still the voice of authority. All this we ask in your holy name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that this service has been a blessing to you. We are a non-profit radio ministry, and it is your prayers and financial support that enable us to share the gospel message. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. If you would like to receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. And call Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. You may leave a message on voicemail at any time. You will also receive letters from Pastor Larson at Easter, Christmas, and on our anniversary in September. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once again, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, simply dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.